Nemoto presents Filmmaking Giants. Brian De Palma, the Stylist of Obsession. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 10 minutes. The screen splits in two. On one side, a woman is terrified. On the other side, a man is watching. The camera doesn't simply record. It prowls, glides, spies. Suspense builds not from what we know, but from what we fear we might see. This is the language of Brian De Palma, one of American cinema's most audacious stylists, a director obsessed with images, voyeurism, and the thin line between seduction and horror. For decades, his films have polarized critics, shocked audiences, and influenced generations of filmmakers. To enter De Palma's world is to be reminded that cinema itself is dangerous, that the camera is never innocent, and that obsession is both his subject and his method. De Palma was born in 1940 in Newark, New Jersey, and grew up in Philadelphia. His childhood was marked by turmoil. His father, an orthopedic surgeon, was domineering and unfaithful. His mother was devoutly Catholic. The young Brian was caught between them, often in violent domestic arguments. As a teenager, he followed his father to catch him in affairs, carrying a tape recorder and camera. This early exposure to betrayal and voyeurism would haunt his work. The gaze, the act of watching, the paranoia of exposure. He studied physics first, but soon switched to film at Sarah Lawrence College, attracted by storytelling and technology alike. He absorbed the French New Wave, Hitchcock thrillers, and the possibilities of the split screen as both metaphor and mechanism. His early films were experimental, political, playful. In the 1960s, he made countercultural works like Greetings, 1968, which satirized the Vietnam draft and surveillance, and Hi, Mom, 1970, which introduced a young Robert De Niro in a role that previewed Travis Bickle's intensity. These films were anarchic, filled with satire and provocation. De Palma delighted in poking at American hypocrisy. But it was in genre cinema, horror, thriller, crime, that he would find his most enduring voice. In 1976, he directed Carrie, adapted from Stephen King's debut novel. The story of a bullied teenage girl with telekinetic powers tapped into De Palma's own sense of outsider alienation. Sissy Spacek's Carrie, fragile and strange, becomes monstrous at the prom, drenched in pig's blood, unleashing vengeance. De Palma staged the sequence with split screens, slow motion, and operatic style, turning horror into tragic spectacle. The film was a sensation, earning Oscar nominations and announcing De Palma as a master of cinematic shock. He followed with Dress to Kill, 1980, a film that outraged some with its violence and sexuality and thrilled others with its virtuosity. Critics accused him of misogyny. Admirers hailed his technical bravura. The elevator murder sequence, constructed with silence, anticipation, and sudden brutality, is a textbook of cinematic suspense. De Palma reveled in pushing limits, stylized blood, frank eroticism, shocking reversals. He was often accused of copying Hitchcock. Dress to Kill echoes Psycho and Vertigo, but De Palma insisted he was not imitating but exploring, using Hitchcock's grammar to expose modern neuroses. His masterpiece of paranoia, Blowout, 1981, stars John Travolta as a sound technician who accidentally records evidence of a political assassination. Inspired by Michelangelo Antonioni's Blowup and the Watergate era, the film becomes a meditation on the fragility of truth and the impotence of witness. The final scene, in which Travolta's anguish scream becomes part of a movie soundtrack, is both devastating and cynical. It shows De Palma's recurring theme, the failure of heroes, the cruelty of systems, and the manipulation of image and sound. Critics at first dismiss the film, but it has since been hailed as one of his greatest works. De Palma also entered the gangster canon. In 1983, he directed Scarface, written by Oliver Stone. Al Pacino's Tony Montana, a Cuban immigrant turned drug lord, is excess personified. The film was reviled on release for its violence and profanity, but over time it became a cult phenomenon. Rappers, immigrants, Strivers embraced Tony's defiance. The world is yours. De Palma shot the film with neon intensity, a fever dream of cocaine and greed. It remains a touchstone of popular culture, proof that De Palma could create icons as well as nightmares. In 1987, he made The Untouchables, a lavish Prohibition-era crime film starring Kevin Costner as Elliot Ness, Sean Connery as a grizzled cop, and Robert De Niro as Al Capone. The film's style is operatic, its set pieces unforgettable. The train station shootout, staged as homage to Eisenstein's Battleship Potemkin, is one of cinema's great sequences, slow motion stretching time until bullets fall like fate. The Untouchables was a commercial and critical hit, proving that De Palma could harness his Baroque style for mainstream storytelling. Yet his career has always swung between triumph and failure. Casualties of War, 1989, a Vietnam film starring Michael J. Fox and Sean Penn, tackled war crimes with moral outrage, but struggled at the box office. Bonfire of the Vanities, 1990, adapted from Tom Wolfe's novel, was a notorious flop, criticized as tone-deaf and overblown. De Palma's willingness to take risks meant he often stumbled, but he never played safe. In the 1990s, he found renewed success with Carlito's Way, 1993, reuniting with Pacino in a gangster tale suffused with melancholy. The opening and closing chase through a subway station showcases De Palma's gift for kinetic suspense. Then came Mission Impossible, 1996, launching the franchise with Tom Cruise. De Palma brought his signature set pieces. The Vault Heist, a ballet of silence and tension, remains one of the series' most iconic sequences. The film was a hit worldwide, cementing De Palma as a director capable of delivering blockbusters without losing his style. But the late 1990s and 2000s were difficult. Snake Eyes, 1998, with Nicolas Cage, began with a bravura 12-minute tracking shot but faltered narratively. Mission to Mars, 2000, was panned as hokey. Femme Fatale, 2002, however, saw him return to his obsessions, doubles, deception, eroticism. European critics embraced it as a late masterpiece, proof that De Palma remained a stylist of daring imagination. Throughout his work, certain themes recur. Voyeurism. Characters watch and are watched. Cameras reveal and deceive. Women. Often central. Often endangered. Sometimes empowered. Always subject to the gaze. Violence. Stylized, operatic, shocking. Politics. From Vietnam to Watergate, his films reflect distrust of authority. And above all, style itself. Split screens, slow motion overhead shots, swirling cameras. For De Palma, style is not decoration, it is meaning. His films insist that how we see is inseparable from what we see. Critics remain divided. Some call him derivative, misogynistic, exploitative. Others see him as a master of cinematic form, an heir to Hitchcock who used technique to expose obsession and fear in a media-saturated age. What cannot be denied is his influence. Quentin Tarantino, Paul Thomas Anderson, and countless others owe debts to De Palma's daring. He showed that Hollywood thrillers could be Baroque, that mainstream cinema could flirt with avant-garde excess. De Palma's later years have been quieter, with fewer films, smaller budgets. Yet his reputation has grown. Retrospectives honor him. Younger critics reevaluate his work. Filmmakers pay homage. His films may disturb, confuse, or offend, but they pulse with conviction. They remind us that cinema is not safe. Brian De Palma remains one of the giants of American film, a director who turned obsession into art, who saw cinema as both mirror and trap. His split screens show us two truths at once, the seduction of spectacle and the horror beneath. His camera prowls, reminding us that we are voyeurs. his violence shocks, reminding us that images have power. Whether crafting horror, crime, or suspense, De Palma forces us to confront our own gaze.